I welcome all of you once again. Thank you everyone for joining today's Bhakti Sangha call of Srimad Bhagavatam. Today we are really fortunate to have His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam from 5.23.4 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept all of our humble obeisances. Thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your valuable time and association in this Bhakti Sangha conference call. We are really fortunate to hear from you Prabhuji. So before I hand over the call to you, Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Padma Sakhi Mataji to give a brief introduction on Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Mataji, over to you.
Sorry. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Sorry, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. This is a brief introduction about Ramagiridas Prabhuji. He is a disciple of His Holiness Jayapathak Swami Maharaj. And Prabhuji has been practicing Krishna consciousness since 1989. He hails from Srirangam, Tamil Nadu, India. And Prabhuji is currently living in Navy, Mumbai. Prabhuji is also a trustee in Bhaktivedanta College, Radhadesh, and Alfred Ford School of Management, Belgium. He's responsible for collecting annual reports from all the ISKCON temples, preaching centers, Namahattas, and process, and maintain the database. This service is under the purview of Governing Body Council of ISKCON. He's the director of North American Institute of Oriental and Classical Studies, Tennessee. He is one of the leaders of Congregational Developmental Initiative of ISKCON Navy Mumbai. He organized programs and preached to young children, youth in Mumbai. He has a master's degree in software systems from Birla Institute of Technology and Science, Fitz Pilani, and Bachelor of Engineering, Electronics and Instrumentation from Anna University, Chennai. He is a co-founder, managing director, and CEO of Gauranga Softech Private Limited, a software development and technology services company since 2007. He is co-founder and director of Goloka Education, an educational resource development company since 2011. He is co-founder and director of Gokul Kids Education, an early childhood education initiative of Goloka Education. Thank you, Prabhuji. Over to you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji, for that brief introduction. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for coming on this call. And we are really fortunate to hear from you, Srimad Bhagavatam. Then please take over, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Dhanavad Pranams, all glory, Shukrabhad. First of all, thank you so much to have engaged me and keeping me in our association. It's always a pleasure to come in Bhakti Sangha group to speak on the topic of Krishna consciousness. Quite regularly we discuss on Chaitanya Bhagavata mid-morning class. So after a while, after a long time, I'm joining this morning Bhagavatam class. So thank you so much for having me here. So we will chant some invocation prayer. Then we'll get on to the discussion. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Jaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudire. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki sarva sastrabdi piyusha sarva vedaika satfala sarva siddhanta ratnadya sarva lokaika drikprada sarva bhagavata prana shrimad bhagavata prabhu Kali Dvanto Ditaditya Sri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Pataya Prema Varshaksharayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostute మదేకబంధో మత్సంగీ మద్గురు మన్మహాదనా మన్నిష్టారక మద్భాగ్య మదానందానమోస్తుతే అసాధు సాధు తాదాయన్నతి నీచోచతాకరాం కానాముం చాకదాచిన్మాం ప్రేమ్నా హృత్కంఠయోస్పురాం. సో వీఆర్ డిస్కసింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ 23rd చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ 5th క్యాంటో శ్లోక నంబర్ 4.
కేచానైతజ్జ్యోతిరనికం శిశుమార సంస్థానేన భగవతో వాసుదేవస్య యోగదారా నయాం అనువర్ణయంతి.
ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి జై. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. దిస్ గ్రేట్ మషీన్ consisting of the stars and planets resembles the form of a Shishumara dolphin in the water. It is sometimes considered an incarnation of Krishna, Vasudeva. Great yogis meditate upon Vasudeva in this form because it is actually visible. Purport. Transcendentalists such as yogis whose minds cannot accommodate the form of the Lord prefer to visualize something very great such as the Virat Purusha. Therefore, some yogis contemplate this imaginary Shishumara to be swimming in the sky the way a dolphin swims in water. They meditate upon it as the Virat Rupa, the gigantic form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedhanta Swamin Niti Namine నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. సో వి ఆర్ డిస్కసింగ్ దిస్ 5th క్యాంటో 23rd చాప్టర్ వేర్ సుఖదేవ గోస్వామి ఇస్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ అబౌట్ the Shishumara planetary systems. I am not a very expert in technical subject matter, especially with respect to cosmology, astronomy. I'm a very simple yet complicated within in terms of my spiritual understanding. So I will definitely try to share those reflections from the current context proportionate to my understanding. I am sure that this particular shloka or this current context could be dealt in a much authentic as well as comprehensive manner, but I will not want to do something artificial and present something that I have not got a proper understanding. There are 4 reflections from this particular context that I would be, churning here. As we always discuss Srimad Bhagavatam is that subject which reciprocates a response to the reader, a sadhaka, directly proportionate to his surrender. Like the way Krishna says, ye yata mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. Based on the surrender and sincerity of the practicing devotee, the Lord reciprocates. Srimad Bhagavatam also does the same. Proportionate to our surrender, sincerity, and our inquisitiveness, Srimad Bhagavatam reveals, as we just chanted in the invocation prayer, Shri Krishna Parivartita. Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Krishna personified. Sanatana Goswami, in his Bhagavata Mahima Stotra, he has very nicely glorified Srimad Bhagavatam and explained how Srimad Bhagavatam is just not a philosophical or a spiritual study. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna personified. And to support that, Padma Puran is giving us information about how this Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. Padau yadiyau pratamaspitiyau tritiya turayau katitau yaduru nabistata panchamayeva shashto bujantaram doryugalam tatantyau tantastu rajan navamo yadiyau mukaravindam dashamah prafullam ekadasho yasya lalatapattam shiropitu dvadashayeva bhati. Padma Purana says how Padau Yadiyau Pratamat Vidiyau, the first and second cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam are Shri Krishna's lotus feet. The third and fourth cantos are his thighs. The fifth canto is his navel. The sixth canto is his chest. The seventh and eighth cantos are his arms. The ninth canto is his throat. The tenth canto is his beautiful lotus face. The 11th canto is his forehead. The 12th canto is his head. So from that perspective, the canto that we are discussing, 5th canto, is the Lord's navel. So there is an interesting explanation that is given, that how even the subject matters dealt with respective cantos. It is explained that to view the deity of Krishna in the temple, we are supposed to start from the lotus feet and all the way to the lotus face. So similarly, we are encouraged to study from first canto to the 12th canto step by step. And every time when we go up, the subject matters that are dealt also are correlated like that. So the 5th canto subject matter that we are dealing is dealing with about the entire cosmology and the Lord's creation. Of course, in the 2nd canto also, there are some details about creation that are mentioned. But in the 5th canto, Sukadeva Goswami Pad is going little more details. So we are in that context in which Sukadeva Goswami is explaining about Dhruva planet and how Dhruva planet happens to be a pivot for several planetary systems. As we know, out of the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam, Atra Sargo Visargascha Stanam Poshanam Utaya Manvantreshanukata Nirodho Muktirashraya. So, out of this 10 subject matter, one is called Sarga, universal creation by the Supreme Lord. So these all aspects, Sarga and Visarga, are about several intricate information about creation. So I am not getting into the cosmological explanation of this. Probably you all would have dealt in the earlier chapters. I was following in some of the sessions from very erudite speakers. They have been dealing about this cosmology subject. I just want to get into the aspect by which we can learn some lessons for our Krishna consciousness practice from this current context. So I have four reflections. Through those four reflections, I would like to present my understanding and let others give their comment and also their perspectives on the subject. The whole goal, my first reflection is, the whole goal of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, Ete Chang Sakala Pumsam, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, Indrari Vyakulam Lokam. So Srimad Bhagavatam's one of the focal point, the Paribhasha Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam is to establish Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. And if everyone have to understand Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, different people understand Krishna from different dimension. Some people understand Krishna, especially those who are simple-minded, simple-hearted. They understand Krishna as a village cowherd boy, Shyama Sundara, and they just simply love him and develop their relationship with him. This is easily said than done. But there are other categories of people who don't understand Krishna like that. So the moment we are outside of the simple mindset, so many complications come in. So they would like to understand how he is a Bhagavan, how he controls past, present and future, how things are happening. So there are several dynamics somebody wants to understand. So the first level is those who have surrendered, loved and known Krishna in a very simple aspect. Love him, no complications. But those who don't, those who cannot, those who are yet to relate with him, so they need some detailed information to establish, to prove and to relate Krishna as Bhagavan. And there's a third category of people who are ignorant and innocent, who think anything as God. So for them, they are able to relate only up till nature. Beyond nature, they cannot comprehend. They will accept up till nature, sun, moon, wind, clouds, rain, seasons, mountains, oceans. They accept nature and they say there's a controller behind the nature and they cannot define, they are afraid to define or they have restrictions to define. And the fourth category is naturally those who are against the Lord, challenge the Lord. They only limit themselves to their gross logical understanding. So in these four categories, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and Shastras help for the first three categories easily. For the fourth category we will come. First category of people, those who are loving the Lord, they have enough directions, informations, inspirations in Srimad Bhagavatam by which they develop love for Krishna, develop service attitude for Krishna, and they are able to relate with Krishna. Those who are the third category, innocent and ignorant, anyway for them, everything is new. So they are all processing Srimad Bhagavatam, when they come in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam, they get information and they get excited, sometimes surprised. So they get to learn the basics. But the mid layer, which is by and large great yogis, munis, rishis, so they have some natural inquisitiveness. Even a devotee used to have an inquisitiveness, but the moment the details are revealed, the devotee personally feels that, no, I'm happy with what I was enjoying before, so let's go back to that mode. That's exactly what happened with Arjuna. Up till 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna and Arjuna were interacting on several subject matter, but suddenly, when universal form conversation came up, so Krishna showed Virat Rupa, Krishna showed his transcendental, universal form, because Arjuna asked for it. Arjuna asked certain questions because of which Krishna had to show. And when Arjuna saw the Virat Rupa, the Lord, Arjuna said, "My dear friend, thank you so much. I cannot, behold this. I cannot process this. Let's go back to what it was before." But that was Arjuna who became a devotee. But those who are yet to become a personal bhakta, they may still be in the process of understanding, knowing, evaluating, who am I? What is this universe? What are we? So several yogis, rishis, munis, tapasvis, for them, they needed certain inspiration, certain information, certain aspect of the Lord to latch on to so that they can develop their quote-unquote religious, spiritual mission in a specific direction. Kunti Maharani specifically says in her prayers that, "My dear Lord, you are accessible to Tata Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartam Katam Pashyemi Hi Striyaha." She was putting herself in a very humble shoes, saying that, "My dear Lord, you are accessible only to Paramahamsas, Tata Paramahamsanam, Muninam Amalatmanam." So this Rishi Muni, as it is explained in this particular shloka, shloka number 4, says transcendentalists such as yogis whose mind cannot accommodate the form of the Lord. So I just want to dwell on that as my first reflection. On one side, they are classified as transcendentalists. And on the other side, they said their mind cannot accommodate the form of the Lord. So how come they are transcendentalists? And how come they are not able to visualize the Lord? So what is the missing link? So this forms our first reflection, and we'll churn on this. And we'll eventually come to Sishumara. Yesterday, Radhika Vallabh Prabhu, I was, hearing him a bit. He's my good friend, and we were together for some time. So there are other stalwart speakers who are regularly enlightening on this particular series. So I may not be able to give you a very detailed analysis on Sishumara and their structure, positions, and how they all interact. So coming back to this point, transcendentalists not able to visualize on the form. So we'll go to Brahma Samhita, in which Brahma makes one interesting prayer. Pantastu koti satavatsara sampragamyo vayor atapi manaso muni pungavanam sopyasti yat prapada chimni avichintya tatve govindam adipurusham tamaham bajami. Koti satavatsara sampragamyo. Hundreds and thousands of years, muni pungavanam, all these rishis and munis, they are meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord to just get the tip of the toe of the Lord's lotus feet darshan for a few seconds. So the transcendentalist category, why they are called transcendentalists? Because these yogis, these rishis, these munis, they have finished the cycle of karma. Because the end of karma yoga is the beginning of jnana yoga. End of jnana yoga is beginning of, if I can cut short, we can always have many granularities, but the end of jnana yoga is the beginning of bhakti yoga. And the end of bhakti yoga is Krishna prema. So when I have relinquished all the actions that are to be associated with me, and my focus is above and beyond me, I'm already given a title called transcendentalist. Because when I am thinking about myself, when I'm thinking around myself, for me, with me, there is always an agenda associated for my pleasure. So the transcendentalist title is not necessarily associated only with, pure devotees. That is why, tata paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam. Three classifications she is giving. So paramahamsas are, Goswamis and above. Amalatmanam are simple, kind-hearted, beloved residents of Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwaraka, devotees. Amalatmanam, they don't have any dirt in their heart. They're only loving Krishna. Muninam, there are different explanations given to Muni, but one of the, when Prabhupada used the word transcendentalists, such as yogis. So they are called transcendentalists because they have relinquished their personal desires for personally enjoying, personally going through some sort of a personal pleasure. They have relinquished that. So in our journey of Krishna consciousness, knowing the Supreme Lord, one important fundamental aspect that we need to always remember is, can we think above and beyond me using my current position? So I use this human form of life, which is a sadhan, which is the means by which I can elevate my consciousness above and beyond me, so that I can dovetail me to that direction and eventually exit the cycle of birth and death. So the word transcendentalist is appropriate even for yogis because they have free from personal agenda. But then why are they not able to accommodate the form of the Lord? Because to accommodate the form of the Lord, there are several dynamics that are required. Several quotients that are required, they are still not manifested in such yogis because they are still in the process of figuring out. They are still trying to understand the universe. Because the reason Sankhya Yoga is attractive to some people are because just by studying the Sankhya part, which is what we are currently, this is some part of a Sankhya, how these universes are arranged, how things are classified, how things are interrelated. When they get to see the, Prabhupada used the word phantasmagoria, when they get to see this whole arrangement, so they are naturally develop a inquisitiveness, oh, okay, God might be great. So for them, there is more of a inquisitive as well as more of a knowledge acquiring propensity, yet they are not yet developed personal relationship or love with the Supreme Lord to accept or to register the Supreme Lord within their heart. This is naturally because we left the Lord and we naturally had the quotient of enviousness, the quotient of self-centeredness, the quotient of being the ruler of what I have had. Because of that, my understanding about the Lord, with the Lord, had always been very impersonal, or sometimes in the case of in the fourth category, we don't even have any understanding of the Lord. But these yogis, they have definitely gone above. They said, I saw this world, whatever that I am enjoying, whatever that I am seeing, that doesn't give me enough happiness. There may be something superior to this. Let me go and explore. I am not finding necessary satisfaction. I am really searching for the real truth. This is not seeming to be truth. This is not seeming to give me happiness. This is not seeming to be permanent. So let me go up. That's where they have come to search out, trying to understand, meditate on, trying to find out the underlying truth. So that stage itself is transcendental stage, because there is no hankering, lamentation, and some sort of a materialistic quotient. So my first reflection is, anyone whose consciousness is above and beyond one's personal self, and anyone who engages his personal self in at least trying to find out, trying to work in the process of knowing the truth, they are transcendentalists. But still, because they have not developed love, attraction, service attitude, and any relationship with the Supreme Lord, and they have not actually known him by its fact, they are still not able to accommodate that form of the Lord. One devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and asked, Swamiji, in your temples, why are you not worshipping Krishna in his Virat Roop form? Why in all your temples you have only, you know, Krishna as Radha Krishna? Prabhupada very jokingly responded, saying that, who will dress them? How they will get their Abhishek and Shringar done? So Prabhupada gave a very easy response, but then there was a significant underlying understanding associated with that. The purpose of all spiritual activities is to develop love and eventually position ourselves as a servant of the Supreme Lord. In this state of understanding currently, as the transcendentalist yogis, they are still trying to understand the truth, knowing who is the controller, how does he look like, how does the creations are all about. So hence they are not able to. So we will, in our journey to Krishna consciousness, so long as we have not actually associated with a bhakta, so long as we have not done service, so long as we have not heard or seen the Lord's pastimes, so long as we have not developed some sort of an acceptance that Krishna is a supreme personality of Godhead, we would still be asking these questions and we will still be exploring. So till that point in time, in our heart also Krishna won't reside, or we will not be able to behold the form of the Supreme Lord. But at the same time, this journey, even though it's a slower journey, they are on the right track, because at least they wanted to know how the world, everything. Finally, yoginam api sarvesham mat gatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam samayukta tamo mataha. Eventually, these transcendentalists also will reach to the point of knowing who Krishna is, and they will eventually know him. The process is sure. Now the question is asked, that what is the relevance for Sukadeva Goswami to explain this particular subject matter whilst Parikshit Maharaj is already a devotee and trying to find out the truth? Because Sukadeva Goswami is currently building up a very interesting use case to eventually switch, if you go to sixth canto onwards, he's going to switch up to further interesting transcendental sweet pastimes of the Lord. So he's doing a very good build up here, because he has established how the Supreme Lord is a controller and who has created this wonderful universe and maintaining them. Not only universe above, he has also created universes below, beneath. There are 14 planetary systems. In this fifth canto, fag end of the fifth canto, he's also going to explain about the hellish planets. He's explaining about the heavenly planets now. Very soon, in the next 2-3 chapters, he is going to explain about the planets underneath and who will reside there. So what he is trying to do is, he is trying to, you know, they say in science, you have to explain about the place, space, people, process. So currently he is describing about the space and the creative aspect, the creational aspect of the Lord. So my second reflection is that this particular context of Sukadeva Goswami explaining about this entire universes to also establish and teach a very fundamental science, saying that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Lord is a controller, and Supreme Lord positions people according to their consciousness level, and they have their stay and function at that level associated with their administrative authorities. Depends upon where they are situated, they have their own duties and functions to execute. So as Prabhupada mentions here, that therefore some yogis contemplate this imaginary Sishumara to be swimming in the sky the way a dolphin swims in water. They meditate upon the Virat Rupa. So there are people, as we just discussed in the first part, there are people who are not able to comprehend the Supreme Lord's transcendental form. But because of their consciousness level, they are in different planetary systems. For them to have an authority, to have their surrender, so they accept Krishna's other forms, even though some sort of an imaginary form. As it is explained in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives an example of inverted banyan tree. By giving the example of inverted banyan tree, Krishna was trying to explain Arjuna a very important science. Similarly, Sukadeva Goswami Pad, by explaining through this all this creation aspect of it, he is trying to explain to the first category of people, sadhakas, or simple, sincere devotees, third category of basic sadhakas, kanishta, as well as those who are inquisitive in knowing the knowledge. He is trying to say that these are all the gradations of consciousness evolution. Wherever you go, you are going to be positioned and functioning in a specific capacity, and your duration of life, your activities, your consciousness, your association, everything is defined in this manner. And furthermore, he is going to explain in the lower planetary systems, how are we going to suffer? How are we going to be punished? So now make your choice wisely. So when a practicing devotee, when a sincere practitioner tries to learn this science, even though they may not be able to directly correlate, so what? It is Virat Rupa, it is dolphin, it is inverted dolphin. It has nothing to do with my day-to-day practices. We still need to appreciate and learn, understand this science is important for us to at least to know this fact. At least know this fact that if not the spiritual abode, if not the Vaikuntha planets, we have to go. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartino Arjuna maam upetyat kaunteya punar janmana vidyate. So where is this Brahma Loka to Patala Loka? What it is all constituting about? These are all the constitutional and configurations of the 14 planetary systems, by knowing which we can take a well-informed decision that yes, if I go anywhere up and down, There are some wonderful arrangements. There are some great arrangements. I may go up there, be there, stay there, look there. These all arrangements are there. But there is some truth beyond this. There is some truth exciting over and above this. So hence the second reflection is Sukadeva Goswami explaining these information to Parikshit Maharaj and in turn to all of us is to help us definitely take an informed decision that what this process of Krishna consciousness, what this process of devotional service, this is your Lord's administrative capacity, this is your Lord's personal capacity, this is your Lord's capacity as a, you know, a punitive capacity where he can punish and try to teach someone. So now make your choice. In fact, Sukadeva Parikshit Maharaj is going to have some questions in the sixth canto in this effect. So we get to see the Lord as Shyama Sundara. They get to see the Lord as Jagannatha or the master of the universe. We also get to see the Lord as death personified. Because Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, if people don't accept me either way, then at the time of death, they will know who I am. So the explanations of these chapters, apart from knowing how the constitutions are, it is also to help practicing devotee to make a very well-informed decision, knowing how his journey is supposed to be, how he has to organize, position himself in his endeavor in Krishna consciousness, knowing that your father is great, knowing that your father is a controller, knowing that your father is not some ordinary person, but it is easy to relate with your father at his house rather than going and looking at his office and see how his office is being managed. We have a very biased conversation because we are already programmed as a Krishna Bhakta so that we have natural affinity for Krishna. So naturally, we will swing more towards Krishna's personal pastimes, personal details, personal aspect of it. I am sure if you go and sit with some sort of a Sankhya yogi, they may get excited to say how wonderful the Lord's creation. Look at his universe. Look at the way this, inverted dolphin is arranged. Look at the way his oceans are. Look at the way his mountains are. Look at the way the planets are floating. Look at the way the sound vibrations are. If you go to dandavats.com, there is a lecture by His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj. He gave this class on the mysteries of sound in Radha Gopinath temple recently. So you all can try and listen to this class. It's a completely different paradigm. Maharaj explained how the sound vibration, that the sound vibration that we produce to speak, to chant, to glorify, to do other things, is just not some sort of a simple scientific fact. There is several underlying mysteries. Similarly, when we know these aspect of the Lord and also know the personal aspect of the Lord, we definitely develop some natural respect affinity for the Lord, even though these details may be volatile or they may be irrelevant to some sections of a practicing devotees. So I always mention this example when I talk about the cosmology and arrangements. If you go to fourth canto Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a place where Dakshas, Lord Shiva punished Daksha. So Daksha's head was chopped off. And because Daksha was a very great Prajapati, so Brahmaji had to take some stand to help him. And Brahmaji know the mistake of Daksha. Brahmaji also know what image about Lord Shiva that Daksha is having. So there's a chapter explicitly talking about the glories of Kailasha planet. So in that planet, what happens is that when Daksha's head was chopped off, to somehow reinstate Daksha, to make him realize, he already realized this mistake, so to kind of get a prayaschitta done, Brahmaji is taking Daksha along with him, without his head, along with all Daksha's followers. They are going to meet Lord Shiva. So before he is taking everybody to Lord Shiva, Brahmaji is taking them to Kailasha planets. There are easily 15-20 verses in that chapter which describes about the transcendental abode of Kailash. If you had studied 4th canto, 2nd chapter, all the allegations of Daksha on Lord Shiva, it was about his dress, place of residence, people he is associated to, his social status and several other allegations. But when you describe about the position of Kailasha, in which Lord Shiva's abode was so wonderfully described, how the state of art and wonderful ambience and arrangements and lakes and whatnot, what more wonderful glories are described, it tells, in spite of having such an abode, Lord Shiva chose to take up services at crematorium and all tough people. So, to establish the position of Lord Shiva, to establish the greatness of Lord Shiva, to reinstate in everybody's heart that Lord Shiva is just not as described by Daksha. He is a reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmaji is taking everybody to Kailash. The point I want to drive home is, by we going through these shlokas, we get to understand how our Father is great, glorious, and such a personality, such a great, wonderful Supreme Lord is available to us for us to, you know, engage with Him, relate with Him, and definitely have our personal time with Him. And He is ready to give personal time with us. Ishvara Sarva Bhutana Hrideshu Arjuna Tishtati. So Prabhupada uses these all points in the just last verse that you all would have discussed yesterday. So when Krishna is sitting in the heart, Krishna is also available through His wonderful creations. So that's my second reflection about how the Lord's creation is relevant to be understood by a practicing devotee, because our respect and appreciation towards the Supreme Lord will be, you know, much, much more superior. The third aspect in explaining about this is this great machine. So when Sukadeva Goswami Pad is explaining this as a great machine, so this gives a very authentic opportunity for us to establish, go and talk to those who are atheists, those who are non-believers of the Supreme Lord, to say how there is a hand behind this machine. Because Prabhupada explains, no machine works automatically. A person who has not enough intelligence will always look at machines functioning and glorify the structure of the machine. But an intelligent one will only appreciate the brain behind that. So this is, in one way, the glorification of the Supreme Lord, but suitable to those people who don't believe. As Krishna explains, avajananti mam mooda manushim tanum ashrutam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Many people, when Krishna was on this planet, also misunderstood Him, mistook Him, and did not accept Him as Supreme Lord. What to speak of modern millennials? So they don't have proper understanding. So when you see great machines, when you see such universes are operating, floating, interacting, collaborating, you know, things are happening in place. So we need to understand that there is a hand behind that. So as I always say, there are two truths that we cannot deny. We have to always understand, remember, and establish. Truth number one, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Truth number two is Krishna's. Everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. Krishna and Krishna's. So these aspects that are currently being described is about Krishna's. As Prabhupada explained in the previous purport about Supreme Being and a simple being. Supreme Being is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and simple being is Jivatma. So when Jivatma, when the Jiva perceives the creation of the Lord, he would understand this all belongs to the Lord. So the very famous morning walk or some conversation, Srila Prabhupada says, he says, one can neither renounce nor claim. And Prabhupada gives example of Bank of America. Srila Prabhupada says, one cannot say that I am renouncing this Bank of America. People will laugh at him as a madman. Because how can you renounce Bank of America? It doesn't belong to you. So, if it doesn't belong to you, then you cannot renounce, neither you can claim. So, what in this world that we hold, or that we have, or that is in our control, that we can call it as ours? Can I say this phone ours? Can I say this computer mine? Can I say this, things are mine? I cannot claim anything as mine. Neither I can renounce them. So what am I supposed to do? If I can neither claim nor renounce, the only thing that we are supposed to do is, we are supposed to be understanding that we are caretakers. They are all belonging to the Supreme Lord. They are all actually Krishna's. So the third reflection here is about how, by going through these verses, we have to understand that everything that we see is Krishna's. Can we see them in some form? Here, from Bhagavatam, we understand even an imaginary understanding, even some way to contemplate, comprehend this as Krishna's is accepted, because at least they're attaching the label towards the Supreme Lord, even though they are not yet able to appreciate that Shyamasundara form of the Lord. So Krishna and Krishna's truth is something that very important for us to understand. And this great machines, which is the universe, is non-stop running, non-stop, functioning round the clock. It is because there is a hand behind it. Maintainer is behind it. He's doing a first-class maintenance. If on specific arrangements, even the maintainer will try to show us, teach us some lessons. As Prabhupada writes, if somebody disturbs the nature, somebody tries to harm the nature, then the Mother Earth and nature will retaliate, will show some aggression. So we will definitely have to face those consequences. But otherwise, in general, round the clock, things are running, things are functioning, seasons are changing, things are happening, everything is in control. And the whole gigantic creations, it is not just some small piece of element that has been put together. It's a whole universe, and all the descriptions that you all would have discussed. It's all are very wonderfully happening, and they are staying afloat only because of one glance of the Supreme Lord. In 10th canto, there is a chapter about Agasura's pastime. In the Agasura's pastime, one day I was in Houston, ISKCON, so I was going to give a class. So I was going through, at least there are 10, 12 shlokas describing about the gigantic form of Agasura. So I was going to give one of the classes in the middle of the, shlokas, which talks about how gigantic this Agasura was looking. So I was reflecting upon, contemplating that how will I, need to present my thoughts. Then I was analyzing the reason Sukadeva Goswami Pad is describing about this gigantic form of Agasura is, at the very fag end, he says, such a huge form of Agasura, how Krishna handled him and eventually killed him. So this particular description about here, about the gigantic universe and how they are, constituted. Even a normal person, when they know that person who managed that, that is Krishna. So sometimes, there are ways and means to glorify. So the third reflection hence is, can we learn, educate ourselves and educate others how to see Krishna's, how to see things as Krishna's. Here in this case, they looked at Dhruva planet and that arrangement. But why Dhruva planet? Everything else have to be connected and seen as Krishna's. If you don't know to see them as a practicing devotee, if you are not able to appreciate, if you are not able to glorify, if you are not able to correlate anything as Krishna's, then we will be punished. The moment we try to enjoy anything that belongs to Krishna as ours, we will be punished. It is Ravana mentality. Because Lakshmi, these are all resources. These resources are belonging to the Supreme Lord. These are all taken care by Krishna's divine energies, Shakti. And if you want Krishna's Shakti, but you do not want Narayana, you do not want Shaktiman, then naturally that Shakti will only create chanchala, confusion, and that propensity has to be gone. So when we discuss these, so that is why these transcendentalists, they are in that state to relate, to try to meditate on that form of the Lord, by which they can develop some understanding, and eventually when they move further up and when they come in contact with some self-raised devotees, it's easier for them to respect and take advantage of their association and surrender to the Supreme Lord. The last but not least, the fourth reflection in terms of this particular current context is about what Srila Prabhupada explained in the previous shloka, that one need to actually understand and somehow or other establish this fact that spirituality is not just some, in Hindi they say called Manvar Kahani. It is not just some stories somebody has cooked up. These are all bona fide, authentic information coming down from higher ups. So, Srila Prabhupada, when he established this Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish how authentic we are and how we are not just some sentimental followers. So we always divide this spiritual paradigm into four aspects. Number one, formality. Number one, actually it is, self-centeredness, individuality, formality, religiosity, and spirituality. What is individuality? I am always self-centered. Everything around me is for my pleasure. I am least bothered who is the controller, where they are coming from, how they are constituted, how they are arranged. Number two, formality. Because somebody told me, hey, no, this belongs not to you. It belongs to somebody else. I am still not convinced. So out of formality, I do certain things. Just a formality. Okay, respect. I may still not have a relationship. They still not have the full understanding. I still kind of, respect. And third is about religiosity. Religiosity is a, position, platform where I am given an understanding that how the functioning are happening. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So in association with our life, in association with different living entities, in association with interaction with the Lord's material nature. And that's when slowly things are being given more details and explanation is given. Final stage is about spirituality. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to present spirituality as a science. And when you have to explain spirituality as a science, you have to explain authentic, bona fide information which are important to define all aspects of science. Not just one aspect of science. So, when Srila Prabhupada was speaking to His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, so he kind of gave him a project on life comes from life. So, in that, Srila Prabhupada wanted to scientifically demonstrate how our Krishna consciousness process is just not a sentimental understanding. It is a very scientific understanding and meant to take up take up this understanding to our application and day-to-day lifestyle capacity. Otherwise, the so-called scientists, the so-called scholars, the so-called policy makers, the so-called politicians, they limit all the scientific data and information to the superficialness and not directly correlate to our lifestyle. Or even if they correlate to lifestyle, they limit us to only sensual, they don't go to the level of soul. So by explaining this subject matter, by explaining this Sankhya, in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained this to Arjuna. And Arjuna asked the question, which way you want to go? You want me to go into the aspect of serving, knowing you, or trying to analytically understand you? Krishna says, both will reach out to me, but one way is easier than the other. But here, when we know this subject matter, when we know this scientific spirituality, then our presentation is very authentic and we are addressing to all the masses, all the categories of the society, where we say we are not only limited to superficial study, we are not only limited to intellectual study, we are also interested in eventually taking them to the level of application in our day-to-day life. I'll just end with one small analogy that I always explain when it comes to the spirituality aspects of Krishna consciousness. The analogy is with respect to engineering projections. In engineering, we talk about subject of the projections. Suppose, for example, a three-dimensional object is projected on a two-dimensional plane. When the object is projected on a two-dimensional plane, or I take an example of a shadow. So what happens is, when somebody only looks at the projected image and does not have the actual image, has not seen the actual configuration of the actual image, by looking at the projection, by not looking at the actual image, a person can give some sort of an inference. Probably this is a cylindrical object. Probably this is a rectangular in shape. Probably this is of this height. So they can give some information, but they will not be able to, comprehend, correlate beyond what is seen there in the projection. So when a three-dimensional object projected on a two-dimensional plane, now without the actual object, if you ask them to reproject them on a three-dimensional plane, they will never be able to project accurately. In the sense, without the reference to the actual object, if you are asking that person to reproject the projected image to a three-dimensional actual image, it is not possible without the help of this actual object or without the help of the person who has dealt, seen, used the actual object. The example here is, the science of Krishna consciousness is of another dimension. It's in the spiritual abode. When the spiritual abode, the spiritual subject matter, it is projected on the material plane. Because this conversation that we are currently having is about material constitution, how this planet is arranged, which location it is arranged, how far it is arranged, how much distance it is there, whether sunlight is illumination is there or not there, water is there or not there. These are all physical and material elements. These elements are very good, important to know. But just with this element, can you comprehend spirituality? Probably not. Unless and otherwise, somebody who has seen the spirituality could reproject it and explain the spiritual aspect of it. I'm sure I may have definitely, not stated my point very clearly, but then I want to drive home my fourth reflection by saying, this scientific presentation of Krishna consciousness, it is like a three-dimensional object projected on two-dimensional plane. So just don't look at what is projected. Take the help of the original object or take the help of the person who has dealt with the original thing, by which you can correlate. So from that perspective, these physical material elements of the Krishna's Virat Rupa, Virat creation, has got a power and position in the actual relationship with the Supreme Lord, it has to be aligned towards the direction for a sadhaka. Otherwise, he will not be able to correlate what this information is all about. So hence, the fourth aspect is about the scientific basis of Krishna consciousness involves, needs such explanations, supported by other explanations by which putting them together, it makes it much more complete and very, very scientific. So I would like to stop here and thank you all for patiently hearing to me. I'm not sure if I made any sense and if I did justice to this particular shloka in this context. If I have not, please excuse me. If I have, all glory Srila Prabhupada. Any questions or comments, I'll be happy to take. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for this very realistic class that made us think deeper and deeper. And also the aspect of how we grow from just formality and then religiosity and then to spirituality. So to give importance on that level, it was very helpful, Prabhuji. And also always you mention about we are Krishna's and then how to apply it. That was also very helpful, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this very wonderful talk. I request if devotees, they have any questions or comments, they can ask now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Prabhuji, I had a simple question. As you were describing the transcendent list, and I could, I mean, I felt like few days back, I mean, maybe a month or two back, Gaurangi Mataji was asking who is a sadhu. And I just went back and told a few things. And when you were describing a transcendent list today, I felt this is more like how in India we know sadhu, who doesn't have any interest in his personal life or a sense gratification, but he may not be a devotee also. So can we say a sadhu is a transcendent list, Prabhu?
Yes, yes. A genuine sadhu, not a sadhu lookalike. A genuine sadhu, the basic definition, understand, is anyone who thinks over and above, beyond himself. Self-centeredness, one who thinks beyond self-centered. So that person is actually a sadhu because he's inquisitive, he's serious in other agendas. Like, for example, all the sages of Naimisharanya, they are transcendentalists. They came to assemble in Naimisharanya because they want to create, you know, give welfare to the humanity at large. So they didn't know about all the details of Srimad Bhagavatam. They didn't know about so many dimensions. Only after Suta Goswami and Savanagarji, they helped, they knew this. Otherwise, they came, their agenda was, they sacrificed their personal welfare, they sacrificed their personal agendas. They came to Naimisharanya with no time restrictions. They said, we are ready to work for the welfare of the humanity at large. So they are called, transcendentalist sadhus also. But as I said, every transcendentalist need not necessarily be a bhakti yogi. So there's another definition added on top of the transcendentalist to make a bhakti yogi, where there's a personal relationship, there's a personalism aspect that need to be added. Otherwise, he will still be a muni or a sadhu, or he's still, In fact, in fourth canto, first chapter or second chapter, the third canto, first canto, first or second chapter, discussing about Maitreya Rishi and Uddhava, there's a very nice definition that Prabhupada writes, that even though Maitreya and Uddhava, they are both are transcendentalists, but Uddhava is, one step better because he had personal relationship with the Supreme Lord much more than Maitreya. Making sense, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu. So those Naimisharanya sages, they were not exactly devotees, is it, Prabhu?
That's my understanding, because they are not, they are sadhus. They are, some of them are kings, some of them are from different aspects of the life. They chose, they were all concerned, they were all worried, they were all interested in knowing how to rescue the society, how to rescue, how to help the people at large. they knew that something has to be done. So they came down. So they were more of a transcendentalist, interested in helping the society at large. They were not exactly bhakti yogis, as much as I know. Because they have never heard Srimad Bhagavatam before. They never had an opportunity to know the Supreme Lord from a bona fide devotee. So they were all very sincere spiritual seekers. So from that perspective, they were very inquisitive and came to the right source to learn. From that perspective, they are a very bona fide sadhu. In that case, they are transcendentalists.
Yes, Prabhu. So can we say that a transcendentalist may not be a devotee, but a devotee, or rather a pure devotee, is a sadhu?
Yes. A pure devotee is a sadhu also, and beyond sadhu. So that is why he is a Goswami. You know, he's just not a sadhu. Every sadhu need not be a Goswami, but Goswami would always have the, sadhu means one who has learned to control his mind and senses. Goswami is same, but for the pleasure of the Lord, knowing the Lord, relationship with the Lord, serving the Lord, for the Lord. So one is for me, second is not for me, third is for Krishna, fourth is only Krishna. So for me is sense gratifier. Not for me is inquisitive seeker, knowing to try and know the truth. For the, for Krishna is a devotee. Only Krishna is, transcendental, Paramahamsas. Make sense?
Yes, Prabhu. And you said, you asked if your class made sense. Your class always makes sense. It makes sense, and it's beyond Prabhu. I mean, it brings us to the point of, transforming. I don't know if I can transform or not, but it makes me question, am I doing bhakti correctly or not? So always very, very grateful, and keep continue giving your association in the future as well. Prabhuji, we really look forward to this.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam. All goes to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Mataji, for that wonderful question. Yes, Prabhuji, there are no hand raise. If you're okay, we will end the call here. But thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association. It was so helpful. Hare Krishna. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and look forward for his association in future. Yes. 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 Yes.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.